as we return back to our seats today. We're going to be going into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. I invite you to open your Bibles or Bible apps and journey with us as we go through various texts, as we take a special dive in the Word of God today, discussing a very relevant topic for us as the Church of God of Exeter and our purpose here as a family of families in this particular time and space in our present cultural context, discussing important questions of who we are, what we're doing, where we're going, and why. As we've been announcing for several weeks now, it is our Vision Sunday. And we're going to be discussing the answers that God has given us to those various questions here today during this time of hearing and responding to God's Word. As a vision is a definition of the not yet, though. And we have to understand that. Vision is a future destination, a place down the road that we travel together. It is a location where God is taking us as His church. A particular definition of the future, a destination, and a location that we have defined as becoming the forerunners of the transformation in our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. Something we have discussed in detail before, but we haven't discussed in detail since 2021. And there's QR code links on the back of your worship folders in the sermon notes section that could take you to the messages on our mission and vision that we had back in 2021 when we introduced this reality that God was showing us, the vision that God was giving us. Because as today will be more of a summary, not as much as a summary, but more of a call to action. For it is time for us to go. It is time for us to move forward in this vision that God has been calling us to. We have taken steps. We have taken strides. But the time is now. However, before we can even discuss this and begin summarizing it, we must understand visions alone do not achieve vision. We need a way to get there. Without a way to get there, we never get to the destination. That way to get there is our mission. It is the vehicle we use to get to the destination. Our mission simply is the Great Commission, something that we've summarized out of the Great Commission, found in Matthew, Acts, and John. First, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Then Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. John 20:21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Something that we have summarized as knowing Christ and making Him known. That as His church, we exist to grow in our understanding of Jesus, not just so that we can hoard it for ourselves, but so that we can go forth into this world making Him known. How do we get to the vision, our destination? It is through that vehicle of knowing Him and making Him known. Daring to do whatever it takes with whatever we have to do just that. To make the name of Jesus famous here in Exeter, in Tulare County, throughout our country and throughout the world. Understanding it is in and by and through the power of the Holy Spirit inside us that allows us, that equips us, that enables us to do this. But last I checked, vehicles need fuel. They need fuel to get to where they're going. The fuel being our values. A value system that we have that number three. First, that we would be in community. In this particular gathering of God's church, in our family of families, we've discovered the best way to live is as a family, God's family, cultivating places and communities of belonging with Jesus being our one soul unifying factor. You know, I was just talking with someone earlier during the time of greeting. Gosh, people here really love each other. Isn't that the truth? We have been bounded by a bond that is deeper than blood. We have been bounded by the Spirit of God. And we value that bond. We value that relationship that God has brought to each and every one of us. We belong here as followers of Jesus, a part of his family. Our second value is being on mission. We are not a family without purpose. We are not a family that lacks meaning. Being God's family means we are part of God's mission as a family of family, God's family, caring for one another and spurring one another on, empowering one another onward in his mission, encouraging each other to be bold and proclaim the hope and the truth that we have discovered in Jesus. Bringing us to that final value, Jesus, with Jesus. Jesus is the subject, Jesus is the reason we exist, and Jesus makes all the difference. We understand we are called to an eternal mission with eternal consequences and effects. To attempt to do anything without Jesus as his church is to do nothing of eternal importance. We understand we must live in community and on God's mission in light of eternity and the hope that Jesus brings. We must do it with and through him. Therefore, we are in community on mission with Jesus, knowing Christ and making him known so that we will become the forerunners of the transformation in our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time. Ultimately, though, no matter how we word this, vision is not a statement on paper. It's a lived reality. And no matter how we word that statement, it's not just a catchphrase, because ultimately the vision is Jesus. The vision has been and always will be Jesus, as my wife's mentor has said, obsessively, dangerously, undeniably Jesus. For 113 years of the existence of this church, old as the city of Exeter itself, the vision has and always will be Jesus. And the vision, our ultimate destination, is him. He is, and should be, if not, our sole desire, our heart song. It's to be him and only him. We can draft up all the statements, put all the fancy buzzwords in the world. If we leave out Jesus, we've missed the point. Our passions should be in him. And collectively, we should all be striving together towards him. If we leave him out, it means nothing. It's just words on a paper. I hope to show you how these statements we've already discussed are not just words on a paper. They are not just buzz, fancy sayings that we put on bulletins and pamphlets. These are our lived realities and fully defined who we are in Jesus as a gathering of his body here in Exeter, California. This is who we are. We are Jesus people seeking to do the things that Jesus did as Jesus' family on Jesus' mission with him. Understanding the vision is and always has been Jesus. Knowing Christ more and more so we can make him known all the more. Being those forerunners of that transformation in our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing how we do this today may be different than how we did it yesterday. And it will be different how we do it in the future. It's constantly moving. It's constantly changing. Understanding we go as God sends us forth boldly, courageously, to continue his work here on earth. Because even when we arrive to that destination, there's another destination to get us even closer. Even closer, and that is the goal, because Jesus is the vision. He is the ultimate destination that we are seeking. Understanding that he is working right now. As Revelation 21:5 says, and he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. which I know I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but there's just something here that just struck me new in this passage. And if we can bring that passage back up, Revelation 21:5, it's that word making. I never noticed that before, making. This, for those grammar whizzes out there, is a present indicative active verb. What this means, pretty much for those of us like me that aren't grammar whizzes and you have to look up what that means, Jesus is not saying to John, in the future I'm going to make all things new. He's not saying that he's going to do it at some later date. Jesus is saying actively, presently, now I am making things new, John. Yes, this is the end point of that making things new, John, but I'm already doing it. The work is already happening. Take heart. I am at work, he is saying. Jesus is doing it now, not later. And he has called us, his church, to be a part of this great work. He has called his church to rise up and to go forth in this mission of reclamation, in a mission of restoration, in a mission of reclaiming all that hell has stolen. Jesus is preparing us and sending us on his mission. As we read earlier, those commissions of Jesus from the various gospel writers, which we can read again now, Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. John 20:21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. How could we read the Bible and not think we are a people who are sent? We are to be a people sent forth in a bold mission for the kingdom of God. John, I love how he perfectly captures this for us, because he says, as God sent Jesus, as God the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus is sending us into this world to be his people and to do the things that he has done. Well, what is it that Jesus came to do? Luke 19:10 captures this for us perfectly. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And we, as Jesus' people, doing what Jesus did, are to do just that. We are being sent, just as he was sent to do just that, empowered by him through the very same Spirit of God that was in him, with him, and was him. Something we cannot stress enough. God is the one who does it. We are not the ones who do it. God is the one who empowers. God is the one who equips. God is the one who has given us our great vision, Jesus. He's the one who sends us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And if we're going to accomplish our mission, if we are really, truly going to fulfill our God-given purpose, if we're going to even achieve that first step of our vision, it begins with understanding this. And in our understanding of this, it continues with us going forth boldly into the world, being, as Luke records, Jesus' commissioning of the church in Acts, his witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the whole world. Not just locally here in Exeter, but beyond, to the ends of the earth. We must go forth. Our mission is a mission of going forth. Sure, there's this idea of coming in, coming together to grow in our understanding of Christ. And that's great. That's wonderful. We need this. We need to gather. But if we gather and never go, we've missed the point. If we never go forth in our knowing of Christ to make him known, we have failed to be sent, just as he was sent to the world to seek and save the lost. We will never be instruments that will make and baptize people of all nations and teach them all we know of Christ if we never first go. In our society, we have become very proficient in knowing things about God, in knowing Christ. But we have failed terribly at living for Christ. We have institutions, schools, books beyond books to help us know more and more. But instead of taking what we know and have to the world, we seek only to obtain more and more. When the call was to go forth and not just to know him, but also to make him known. That is why we defined our mission that way. Because that is our purpose. To gather, yes, understanding, to gather a knowing of Jesus, not just that we would know stuff about him, but that we would have a relational knowing of him in such a way that would transform our lives, that we would go out there in this world and it would bring transformation to others. To do this and accomplish this, we have to go into the world, being sent by Jesus through the power of his Holy Spirit to show and offer a lost and dying world the life there is in Jesus Christ. This is what we should be doing. And this is what many of you have already begun doing in the most beautiful and subtle ways. Even many of you don't even realize it. So often, we sell our going forth short. We think we're not going forth because we haven't yet crossed national lines. Or that home-cooked meal for the family in need here in Exeter wasn't that big of a deal after all. Since when did going forth in Jesus have to be complicated, complexed, big, or expensive? Whatever happened to those grassroots movement, that grassroots movement, the church, of loving our neighbor and considering those around us more significant than ourselves, doing works of justice and building relationships that all point back to Jesus. He calls us to go right where we're at with what we have, to start with what we have, to dare and to dream beyond right where we are and where we're at. And when we can do this, when we can begin to see where it is that we are at, we can begin to see where the Lord will take us. When we begin to move where we are at, go forth where we're at, boy, you will begin to see where God will take you, knowing that it's not by your power, but his. All you need is what's in your hand. Whatever that may be, whatever talent, whatever skill, whatever resource, all you need is what God has already given you to go forth. This is his desire for us, his demand of us, his want of us. I think about the history recorded for us in the Gospels of that moment of the Transfiguration, though. Because it may be his desire for us, but our desire tends to be to stay. To stay, to not go, to just stay on the mountain. Because if you remember the story of the Transfiguration, this historical moment where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and he is revealed to them the full glory and splendor of his holiness, his godliness, the fact that he was God in the flesh. He is arrayed with splendor. And then Moses and Elijah comes and joins them and begins talking to Jesus. And Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets is right there of Jesus, talking about what Jesus is about to accomplish. Do we remember what Peter's response was with all this? It says this in Matthew, his recording of it, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 4. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Let's just stay right here, Peter is saying. Let's not go back down there. You know, that whole thing about you saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up to man and crucified, let's not do that. Let's just stay right here. It's good that we are here. Why would we ever need to go back down there? Why would we ever need to go out there into this world? Let's just stay right here. Have you ever been like Peter, caught up in that blissful moment that you never wanted to leave it? Thanks be to God, Jesus doesn't leave us there on the mountain, but he takes us back down the mountain for the greater mission out there. What would have happened had Peter, James, and John never left that moment? The mission wouldn't have been done. Peter, James, and John would have stayed up there waiting, twiddling their thumbs for that next big movement of God when the next movement of God had already moved on from that mountain. There was a mission to be done. And when we make our lives of faith all about the mountain and not about the mission doesn't get done. We must come down from the mountain of knowing Christ if we ever hope to make him known. Teaching everything he has taught us and shown us on the mountain, sharing in Christ as he has shared with us. Understanding if we want to continue to see God move in, through, and around us, we got to learn to move with God. And God is always on the move. I recently read a book that compared the movements of God to dolphins swimming and jumping out of the water. And our resident sailors, Tom and Carlotta, helped me clarify some things and confirm some things for me to help this understanding a bit. The author, who lives in Florida on the ocean, said that when he sees dolphins breaking the surface, he has to fight the natural tendency to keep looking at that spot, waiting for it to do it again. When in reality, the dolphins already moved on down the horizon to jump again. And his point is that if we just get stuck and fixated on that one high, that one great moment, we'll be stuck. We'll be fixated on that one moment. We could be like Peter saying, let's just build tents and let's just stay here, Jesus. We don't need to go anywhere else. We can just stay here. The mission won't get done if we just keep looking. We're not going to see it jump again if we just keep looking. We're not going to see God move again if we keep expecting him just to move in the same spot in the exact same way. Is there anything in the Word of God that tells us that God continues to do the exact same thing over and over and over again? He's constantly on the move, doing amazing and wondrous things in different ways. They're all within his character. His character hasn't changed. But how he moves, how he interacts with us throughout the words of Scripture is constantly changed. And as I said, our resident sailors here confirmed this, but also explained, you know, it's different when you're in motion, when you're on a boat, and that dolphins love the bows of ships. And if you move along with the dolphins, you'll just keep seeing them jump and jump and jump. You keep looking at the same spot because that's where they're going to jump because you're moving with them. Carlotta said, it's almost as if you want to see God move, you must move with God. Boy, isn't that the truth. Once again, consider Peter, James, and John, what they would have missed out on if they never went forth from the mountain in the power and mission that Jesus gave them. Sure, they would have stayed up there reminiscing on the good old days. You know, when Jesus got all bright and glowy, we met Moses and Elijah. Wasn't that just great, guys? Man, I cannot wait for that to happen again, just like it did then, right here again. When it's been happening again and again, not like that, but in very different and real relevant places away from that mountain. Not right there, but out there. Are you stuck on the mountain? If so, know the time to go forth is now. God is calling you forth from the mountain into his mission. To do whatever it is and to do whatever it takes, all for his name's sake, with exactly what he has given you to do it with. As we gather to prepare to go forth, to be sent into the world. However, we have to ask if we are willing to be sent. Daring to be bold for the name of Jesus and simply asking that easy question of what has God placed in our hands. And I'm referring to a particular moment of Scripture here. If you recall the calling of Moses, God, when God tells Moses to go forth and to lead the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, a very fundamental question is asked of Moses when Moses was trying to say, God, no, not me. How will they ever listen to me? Would you just send someone else, please, God? Exodus 4:2-3 says this. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. Moses being a very wise man. I think I would have ran too. No, I would have ran fast after I had a heart attack. The point is that God asked Moses, what's in your hand? Moses sees a stick. God sees an instrument that Moses would use as a sign of his power and might. What has God put in your hand? Would you dare be bold enough to use it as an instrument that God paves the way for others to find the hope that you have? Using our times, our talents, and our resources, using our gifts, our experiences, and expertise for the sake of making him known. This is what we're doing, trying to do at least. It's what we ought to be doing. This is what we have been seeing. Some have already caught sight of this and have dared to dream what it would be like if they used what God had already placed within their hands. And many wonderful and beautiful things have come about from this dreaming, just like a group of men who really wanted to study the Word of God together. And for the past several years, have been meeting weekly, studying the Word of God together, not knowing, but would revitalize and resurrect a dying community men's ministry that kind of teetered off into death during COVID, but was brought back to life through the name of Jesus, through a group of you men who thought and knew and dreamed that it was important that people would be together and grow in God together. And it now is at a place of vibrance of life it's never been since I've been here. Just like a special lady that I have to brag about. I just have to brag about her being fed up with the status quo VBSs, decided to use her God-given gifts of education, of art, to do an art camp instead of vacation Bible school, focusing on that shared gift that God has given each and every one of us, creativity with children in our community. And another wonderful lady who recently was just inspired to take her art talents and start an art class for all ages to be able to come and learn about Jesus while doing what they enjoy doing. And then there was a certain godly man who saw the need of the school. The needs of the school, and you might say, well, this wasn't something our church did, but you guys really were the ones that put feet to it, literally being a major part of a walking school bus system during COVID, whenever the school buses were shut down. It all came from the dream that God inspired one of you with. There was a young couple, newly married in our community, right here, right now, who's been opening their home to young people in our community, to share with them the love of Jesus, to provide them a solid adult relationship. There is another amazing woman of God who desired that Exeter's finest would truly know who Jesus is through acts of love and mercy, and started a wonderful meal train, which I'm sure needs people signing up for it right now. And so if you're interested in that, please go see her. You know, and that wonderful lady is right over there, Patricia Thompson. And so I wasn't going to name names, but I had to name that one because I'm telling you, it's just such a simple way of taking what's in our hand to know him and make him known. There was a group of fantastic, experienced mothers several years ago who started a Mothers of Preschool group. And yeah, you could say, well, that's not necessarily something the church does. That's what these ladies are doing. But they are you. The majority of them are you. And you are sharing your life with these young women who need mentors, who need guides, all in the name of Jesus. This is just a few things. You know, I like how John's gospel ends. And there are more things that Jesus did, but if they were all to be written, not the books of the in all the world couldn't contain them. And I'm not going to tell you that the books of the world couldn't contain everything that you have been inspired by God to do in these last several years. But I'm telling you, those books are filling up because God is moving in and through you. He's using you by just using what's in your hand. So I ask again, what's in your hand? You may see a stick, nothing but a stick, but God sees the instrument through which he will move in power in your life through to make his name known to those around you. How is God sending you forth today? How would God have you go? A good question would be, if there was no fear of failure, what would you do? If there was no lack of resource, what would you do? If you knew you wouldn't be alone, what would you do? What would you dare dream to do for God's kingdom today with what was in your hand? What gifts, talents, and passions has God given you? How do these align with his kingdom purposes? Understanding it is more than enough to make an eternal impact here on earth as it is in heaven for God's kingdom. When Jesus fed the multitudes, what did he use? He used what he had. Every time he fed the multitudes, he used what he had. And one time he used a kid's lunch. I always love that. You know, it's like he takes this kid's lunch and of course, the kid gets fed, but You know, it's humorous to me. He takes a kid's lunch, but he uses what he has. Jesus always uses what he has. He never tells someone, oh, I'm sorry, I got to go back to Mary's house to get something. I left it there. No, he always used what was there, what he had, what was available. Even when he taught. You know, he's right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee where there's a lot of farmland. He said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who goes out to sow seed. He would point to the world around him and say, this is kind of like the kingdom. If you really think about it, follow me here. He used what was in his hand, and he's put stuff in your hand. So what are we waiting for? To accomplish the mission, we must go forth if we ever hope to arrive at our vision, which begins by saying we would be the forerunners. Not the forerunners for just anything, but forerunners for Jesus in our community, paving the way and making the way, just like John the Baptist did as the first forerunner for Jesus and the gospel. This only happens if we do this together, though, knowing we don't need to wait for the complicated plan, that next big mission trip. All we need is what we have in our hands to break the new ground that is needed to be broke for the gospel right here in our community and to bring forth actual transformation. This is where we're going because of what we are doing. As we catch on to this reality, this is our destination. If we would dare to go forth in him together as God's family, a family of families, simply with what God has given us. Understanding is going to take courage. It's going to take boldness. But as God instructs us time and time again, as he instructed Joshua before taking the promised land, be strong and courageous because God is with us. Romans 8:31 says it best. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Understanding that Paul is talking about things that we aren't even facing. He's talking about famine, by death, persecution, all sorts of things. And he says, if God's for us, who can be against us? Not that people won't try to be against us. The world will try to come against us. Jesus makes that clear. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus assures us of that. The point is, he's with us. He is with us, and who can stand against him? Death itself couldn't stand against Jesus. And you know what Jesus said about his church? Even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I know I've said this before, but I really want to emphasize this. Gates are defensive structures. Jesus mentions gates that will be stormed by his church as we together, hand in hand and in step, boldly go forth courageously together, breaking down the gates of hell, reclaiming, all the devil has stolen, doing so in and by the name of Jesus, as Jesus' people, doing the things Jesus did, being forerunners, daring to be different, daring to be bold, daring to do stuff that no one else is doing, to see to works of justice and mercy in our community and in our world, and building relationships in the name of Jesus. Being the forerunners for his will and his way here on earth as it is in heaven. You may think like Moses did when God called him, who am I? You may think like Moses when God called him, send someone else. You may think, Pastor, that sounds great for you, and quite frankly, that's what we pay you to do. To which I must say, stop paying me. Because that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to do it for you. Because that is not what I'm going to do. Rather, I'm going to commit to you right here and right now to not do that for you, but rather to encourage you. To ask, how is it we together as a family can come alongside you? What is that dream that's so big that needs God? What is that you see outside your front door that needs Jesus? How can we come alongside you? Empower and equip you to go and do it. How can we do it with you? You may think, who am I? Let me tell you who you are. You are a child of God. That is who you are. And the very same spirit that was upon Jesus is upon you. Whether you've been a Christian for 60 years or one day, you have the Spirit of God and you have the power to go forth and be his forerunner. breaking new ground, doing what Jesus did and would have us all do, to bring actual transformation in our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time, moving and growing at the pace of relationship, not seeking to get people to just simply come into a building as much as we like to see that, but to seek to see them come into a kingdom, God's kingdom. As we do works of justice and seek true relationships with others in the name of Jesus here in Exeter and beyond. Because as Peter proclaims in Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Which is why we have to do it with Jesus, in Jesus. If you believe this and you know this to be true, what's stopping you? If you're sitting around here waiting to see God move, especially since you saw him move here one good old day ago, no, if you never go, if you never move with God, you won't see God move. We come here, and here is important. This gathering matters to grow us in our understanding and to encourage us in our mission in Christ together so that we can know him more and more. But there is more to your life than this. There is a whole world out there who is waiting to receive what you are gathering here, who are waiting to receive the hope that God is placing into your lives right now. And this is your spiritual act of worship of going, as Paul would say, by presenting yourself as a living sacrifice and saying, yes, where you lead me, Lord, I will follow. What you command me, I will do. Where you go, I will go. As more and more of us say yes to Jesus and his plan for what's in our hands, closer and closer we will come to being those forerunners. As many of you have already began saying yes, continue saying yes. Stop waiting for someone else. I love that illustration of the obituary of someone else. Someone else passed away today, and so we're needing someone else to organize all the funeral arrangements. We're needing someone else to go and serve dinner at the club night tonight. You are the someone else God has raised up for just a moment as this, for a mission like this, just like all those he's raised up before. You may think, who am I? No matter how little you think you are, God sees a giant in you because God's spirit is in you. No matter how little the world may say you are, you have the power of God Almighty inside of you. Bringing us to the why. The answer to the why being this. You were made for this. God's mission here in Exeter, Tulare County, and this whole world, you were made for this by God. Created in Christ Jesus, as Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Church, the more and more we grow together as a family, the more and more I see something so beautiful taking place that blows my imagination, because I see a church that is not just here to be another American church statistic, living for today to only die tomorrow. Rather, I see a church choosing to be brave and live out a calling given to them by Jesus to be amongst those who are going to be the new precedent for the church in our present age by choosing to be forerunners. But to do this, we have to fuel the tank. We have to take hold of those values of being in community, of being on mission and with Jesus, taking hold of that mission, getting in that vehicle to drive on to our vision, to know Christ and make him known so that we would truly become those forerunners of the transformation in our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? It begins by seeking what's in your hand. If this is something you're ready to do, that you would dare to do, let us know. Put it on your connection cards. Let us know. Say, hey, I need help finding what's in my hand. All I see are a bunch of sticks. You can't see that God is going to use what's in your life right now for his kingdom. If you need help with that, let us know. Pray to the Lord to give you help with that. Because I assure you, you have everything you need right now in your hand to make an eternal difference right here in Exeter. To see to those God-sized dreams that he's given you. Failure, it happens sometimes. But anytime you seek out to live for Christ, it's never failure. When you seek to truly do something that requires God, the world may see it, but it's not failure. Because you made an impact. What has God revealed to you? What has he put in your hand already? If you need help answering these questions, let us know. Start somewhere. Start there. And boy, let's just see the places that you will go with Jesus. We have to start somewhere. If we have to begin to move with him if we want to see him move. What kingdom-level dreams do you have? How can we all come together in support and encouragement of one another to make those God-given dreams a reality? If you never say or do anything, it won't happen. If you don't take that first step of saying, I don't know what's in my head, I got a bunch of sticks. If you never come forward and do that, it's not going to happen. You may see a stick, but God sees who he made you to be. We exist as a church to know Christ and to make him known, so that we would become those forerunners of the transformation in our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time, because we are in community, on mission, and with Jesus. Knowing ultimately, however we word these things, the vision is Jesus. The vision has been and always will be Jesus. Obsessively, dangerously, undeniably Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.